The Town of Discovery Bay regular CSD Moore Board Meeting is now called to order. Will you all please stand and pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect. All members are present with the exception of Director Leet.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments, anything that is not on the agenda. Seeing none, I'll close public comments and move on to consent calendar. Are there any items that any board member would like to pull for further discussion? Hearing none.
Move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Area agency reports, senior, do we have the?
Yes, we do.
Susanna Meyer.
Yes.
Come on up, Susanna, to the podium.
Thank you for having me. My name is Susanna Meyer, and I'm the new senior district representative for State Senator Steve Glazer. And I appreciate the opportunity to say hello and introduce myself to everyone. I'd also like to congratulate you. Heard about your recent award for the special districts and platinum level. Very nice job, proud to have you in the district. And I'm here if anyone needs me for resources in East County and any communications that you'd like to get through to the senator, anything you'd like to share. Mike and I had a pretty strong meeting and shared some thoughts about the town, and I appreciate that too. So, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Just to add, she's local too, so
yes.
She has a great understanding of East County, and that's appreciated.
So my dentist can just discover it.
So local is Discovery Bay or outside?
Right.
Brentwood, that's close enough.
Close enough.
Diane Burgess, I don't see Leah, so we'll give her a chance to get here, and we'll move on to the Sheriff's Office report. Is it Tony? There you are.
Evening, everyone.
Hey, Tony.
Last month, we had 545 calls for service in Discovery Bay, with 33 reports taken, 37 traffic reports. And as you can see what we have there. Property crime wise, we had one residential bird that I can see, which isn't bad for the area. The entry was made through the back of the house. It looks like a rear sliding door was shattered. And it was done at night too, like around 9:30 at night, which was kind of odd. So the guys knew that the home, nobody was there. So it looked like the security camera caught a view too. So other than that, I didn't see anything else. Everything else was just kind of people on people type crimes, batteries, domestic type stuff. So no tenant yet mentioned with the sheriff. So as soon as we find one or ones announced, we'll hear about it. Camera situation, cameras, I mean, as of today, I was just talking to Sarge about it. Not all of them are up and running. The Caltrans side aren't up, all the others are. And for instance, today, I think we had three hits on the cameras. So they're working, the ones that are working, so they're doing good. So keeping our officers busy on that aspect of it. So, things coming up tomorrow, we do have pledge day at Old River School. Tomorrow morning we'll be out there at 7:45 with the officers and some other agencies. We're going to do pledge of allegiance with the kids. That'll be a good little community event for us. Another event coming up, Mike knows about this. On the 21st, I have a one-day training. I have my crime analysis coming out to Discovery Bay. We're going to the Boardwalk and Grill at lunchtime. We're going to spend a couple hours out there. I'm hosting a one-day training event. I invited, right now I have about 12 folks coming from some different agencies for a couple hours for training. I invited them over hosting a couple hour training event to Discovery Bay on crime analysis unit, what crime analysis can do for crime prevention. So I'm hosting at the Boardwalk and Grill as a lunch working lunch, trying to get for Discovery Bay. So I talked to Mike, he'll come out and say hi to the guys, and maybe put together a little welcome to Discovery Bay package for that one day training event. So far I have just some of the agencies are, I've got, I think Santa Rosa, Dublin, Dick Hayward's coming, Napa, Jacksonville, different agencies are coming over for that. So I'm trying to branch out a little bit, get some other agencies here for that, and just kind of open Discovery Bay up. Another event that we're having is that 22nd, we're having Coffee with the Cop over at Starbucks. So the manager is going to open up in the morning between 7 and 9. We're going to start at 7. It's scheduled till 9, but we might be a little longer, who knows. So our officer is going to be there. So please come out, meet the officers. He's going to order some aprons, and he'll let us get behind the counter too. So give our officers a hard time making drinks and stuff. So please come on out there, meet our officers, and chit-chat with us. So that's another thing coming up. With that said, is there anything else or any concerns that you guys or questions that you might have for me? Any concerns?
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tony. Okay, CHP, Officer Thomas.
Hello, Board Officer Thomas of the Highway Patrol, Josh Costa. The activity we had last month out here was arrest-wise, we had 3 arrests for DUI under alcohol, for influence of alcohol, and the other one, one for DUI of, under the influence of marijuana. We had 1 for possession of stolen property, 1 arrest for driving on a suspended license for DUI, and 1 arrest for a hit and run. Citation-wise, we had out here for right-of-way violations 3, which would be the intersection at Highway 4 up there. On safe pass, we had 1. Receipt belt, we had 2. 2 for cell phone, 3 for stop sign violations, and then for speed up here, we had 47 for speed. And I just kind of put them all together this time right here. On the 19th, tentatively, we had planned a multi-jurisdiction thing, and I'm trying to get the guys to come back here, so it'll be Tuesday the 19th of November. And then just with the seasons changing right now, just wanted me to mention, you know, this rain season will start here, so let's try to slow down a little bit, increase braking distance and stuff like that. And then being the darkness, let's turn our lights on too. So, and then during the rain, you should have your lights on too. That's what we did out here last month. You guys have any questions or concerns or anything like that for me?
Just inquiry, how much interaction did you have with our local residents today?
Today, this whole week, I have not even been in East County. I've been in Central County all week. So we're dealing with some homeless problems over there. So we've got a task force over there kind of helping people out there, trying to get resources to them.
19th of November, is that correct?
The 19th of November. So just make sure you drive up and down.
Riding my bike on the 19th.
And I know you've told us this before, but what's the cost for a ticket going around those delineators?
The delineators, typically they're around $250
for this. So.
And that's just kind of a base fee right there. Doesn't include some of the court fees and stuff.
Okay. If you have an attitude, maybe a little more?
That's up to the judge.
Thank you.
So, all right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Next up, East County, East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District.
CHP cohort thinks it's going to rain. It's been really dry out there, so. Good evening, board. It's been a little while. I have not been in attendance because I've been tasked with some work stuff, specifically heading back to Wisconsin and getting our new engines moved out. I'm going to be here sooner than later. So I have 2 months worth of some statistics for you, and I will start with the month of September. There were 67 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response time of 1018. This did include 1 structure fire in Gold Creek Circle that we're able to keep to the room contents of that structure. So we consider that a pretty good save. For the month of September in general, the district responded to 6 residential structure fires, 3 vehicle fires, 3 vegetation fires, and 15 exterior fires. There are also 34 vehicle accidents with an additional 3 requiring rescue. 1 vehicle into a structure, 4 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 6 motorcycle accidents, and 1 bicycle accident. And that was for a grand total of 620 calls for the month. Moving on to October, there were 61 calls in Discovery Bay, and I have response time at 10:43. Really no significant incidents in Discovery Bay at that time, which is good. For the rest of October, there were 7 residential structure fires, 2 commercial fires, 5 vehicle fires, 1 large vehicle fire, 17 vegetation fires, and 13 exterior fires. We also responded to 20 vehicle accidents, with additional 11 requiring rescue, 1 vehicle versus pedestrian, 2 motorcycle accidents, and 2 bicycle accidents. Now, also in the month of October, which was actually just a week ago, we did come through a historic wind event that started multiple fires in this area. Just a quick report on that. The morning, the very early morning on 10/27, we had 3 fires going simultaneously in the Bethel Island and Oakley area. With the heavy winds, I will honestly say I was prepared to evacuate Byron with how heavy the winds were at that point. I was making plans for that. Credit to where credit is due, the fire crews that came in, at one point we had 60 fire engines in the area from surrounding agencies and strike teams, and just we had to call the world. During that time, though, those firefighters worked their tails off to keep those fires where they were, to keep them from spreading a lot farther than they did. We only damaged 1 structure, and even today I'm still floored at how hard those guys worked to keep this thing from burning all the way to Discovery Bay, because we had contingency plans that it was just going to keep running. It was not going to be out there. During that time, also another fire happened on Leon Drive. Most people didn't even hear about that one because it chewed up 20 acres over there, and we had no resources there, so we had to rely on CAL FIRE to take care of that, because every resource we had was still committed to fires in the Oakland and Bethel Island area. So one positive thing, just paying attention and commanding the scene, I didn't really see anything come down in Discovery Bay, so I think everybody made it out here unscathed, except for maybe a couple power lines that came down here and there. Other than that, as you see, I'll jump into some easier stuff. I brought you some of our new handouts. So this is something that Chief Helmick has put together. It's a fold-out just explaining where we are in the district. I know that this board is very well versed in what we're doing, but I wanted you guys to see it. I brought a stack, and there's also a website address where a card to fill out. Let us know your opinion and thoughts on what's going on with the district. We want that feedback as we start putting together that information for some future things that we're trying to do. Also, as you may have well found out, we canceled that open house that was on 10/26 and 10/27 because of the red flag day. So I think that was a little self-explanatory. We're going to try and do some more open houses in December. I've not quite worked out the logistics yet, but as soon as I figure out the exact dates, because we're trying to coordinate it with some of the holiday parades and things of that, I will let the board know so you all can be in attendance. Also, we have coming up, even though it's not Discovery Bay, we're doing coffee with the Chief. It'll be on November 30th in the streets of Brentwood Starbucks. We do plan on the near future having the Discovery Bay Starbucks host us as well. We've been in contact with them, and just like with the sheriff, they're more than happy to have us come around. So if you can come out to the streets of Brentwood, great, but rest assured we'll be in Discovery Bay at some point within the next month or two. And finally, I'm sure you all have
enjoyed time.
Oh, sorry, but yeah, I should tell everybody what time. 9 a.m. We'll go from 9 to 11, or as long as we need to go if there's a lot of people that show up. But 9 a.m. We'll have a call. We'll leave it by your call. And some may have seen, we actually announced it today, but they've been on duty for 3 weeks. We hired our first batch of fire district aides. This is a new thing we're doing. They're kind of like a student worker, but we're not requiring them to actually be in school. A bunch of young gentlemen that came through, interviewed, and now they're working for us in 20 hours a week, doing everything from mail runs to grabbing a hose. But this is a huge lift for us, for something we haven't done in the past. So if you see these kids running around, and they'll have a t-shirt on that says District Bay, just say hi, and they're really nice guys. So I'm trying to train the future. And that is my report. I'm available for questions.
You good?
Can you give us just a quick update on the engines?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wish I would brought my iPad tonight. I could have showed you some really cool pictures. The engines are done. So
how many?
3 of them.
Three
brand new fire engines to replace our aging fleet. They will be in Sacramento actually tomorrow. So now we're in the final process of the final inspections at our vendor, which is Golden State Fire Apparatus in Sacramento, and starting to put the tools together on it, the radios programmed, all that stuff. So we're shooting for January to have them in service. And they look really nice. So we're pretty happy.
And not to put you on the spot, but how many miles are on each of your rigs now?
So I can give you a minimum of our three first out rigs. Each rig has over 150,000 miles on it, and one of our backups right now is 180,000 miles. And it doesn't seem like a lot for a diesel motor, but those diesel motors are very similar and almost the same as the long-haul trucking motors. So those motors are designed to drive down I-5 at a nice 60-mile-an-hour, 55-mile-an-hour pace for hours and hours and hours easy. Whereas our engines, same motor, they get fired up at 2 in the morning, pedal to the metal, go to the call, runs a little bit, goes back, gets shut off. So there's a lot of hard wear and tear on those versus just a nice, easy drive. But it's time. Most of the time, fire engines, you want 10 years of service life, then they get put into a backup status. We're at 13 years for these engines. So once we get the new engines, our current first out will go into backup status. Our current backups will go into a surplus program that we're going to start doing.
And what color are they?
They're a darker red than you've seen before on our engines. I want to kind of leave a surprise. When we get the engines, we will. it's a surprise. When we get the engines, we will have a day to where we're going to have our chaplain bless the engines, and we're going to have a ceremony at each station on the same day to where we put the engines in. So rest assured, when Discovery Bay one happens, I want all of you to be there to come check it out and ooh and ah our engines. So
sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't see Leah, so we'll move on to G1, staff.
Okay, I'm going to bring up Mike Baraka, talk about item G1.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Mike Baraka, Special Project Manager for Channel Discovery Bay. And so we have the Willow Lake water line that we reported to you is broken underneath Willow Lake. And we've come up with two options to share with you for the repair that we've studied and investigated. And one thing that we did do a week or two ago was we actually went out in the field and flow tested one of the fire hydrants to see what kind of flow are we getting. And then Justin from Lewis County took that information back and compared it to his modeling results, and it compared very well. Well, what we found is under maximum day conditions in the summertime, when people are using the most amount of water, we would expect about 1,000 gallons a minute out of the fire hydrant. That's in talking with the fire department today, actually, George Apple with the fire department, he said that that is marginal. They could fight a fire with that. He wouldn't consider it an emergency situation, but it's not good because the fire code requires 1,500 gallons a minute in residential areas, which is what the water master plan that Justin's working on for the town is targeting, 1,500 gallons a minute in residential. But right now, with that pipe out of service because it's broken, we're at 1,000. And the fire department said we can still fight fires, but 1,000 is not as good as 1,500. So that being the case, we do feel that the line needs to go back in service. The two options that are in the staff report are option A and option B. Option A, if successful, option A would be a liner on the inside of the pipe, which is cured in the pipe and is a brand new pipe within the pipe. It's only about 4.5 millimeters thick, but because it's smoother than the existing pipe, the flow capacity of the pipe is approximately the same. The only drawback on option A, which could be done very quickly within a couple of months actually, because it wouldn't require any permitting, is that we need to investigate as a phase one, can we stop the lake water from coming into the pipe? Because if there's too much lake water coming in the pipe, the liner option will not work. And that has a risk of about $28,500 that we would have to spare. Now, the safer way to go, money-wise, would be option B, which is put in a whole brand new horizontal directional drilling of the pipe underneath. We start on one end of the cul-de-sac, and set up in the median area and bore underneath, go about 40 feet below the bottom of the lake, and then come back up the other side and then tie in the two pipes, the two ends of the pipe back into the existing water system, and then basically just abandon that existing pipe. The drawback on that is the permitting. You need to go through Fish and Wildlife Service, most likely Army Corps of Engineers, and it could be up to a year just for permitting processes. But we wanted to bring to the board the information about the fire flow situation. To let you know that even during that year, we still have 1,000 gallons a minute under the worst day condition. So rather than spending the 28, risking the 28,500 on phase one for option A, I think our recommendation is to go ahead and recommend to go with option B, which is to do the horizontal directional drilling. The project costs are the same. It's just that option A has the risk of spending the 28,500. If that fails and we can't repair it to stop the water, lake water coming in, then we have to go back and spend the $253,000 on option B when we have already spent the $28,500. So that being the case, if the board is comfortable with keeping the fire flow that we have at 1,000 gallons a minute, we'd recommend going ahead with option B, which is the horizontal directional drilling, and the authorized general manager to execute any and all documents to get that project done.
Thank you, Mike. Any clarifying
questions? Yeah, so when you say in order to keep the lake water out, that would depend on how big the hole is that's in there currently, is that correct?
And where it occurs.
Okay, that's the risk.
Yeah, those are the risks.
Or the unknowns that
we don't know yet.
Right, okay.
Okay, I'll go on
and thank you, Mike. I have a second question. So once we fix the pipes, whether it's option A or option B, what would the flow rate be at that point?
1,500 gallons a minute.
Which would be recommended.
Okay. And with that, thank you.
Okay.
I'll open it to the public comments. And seeing no public comments, I'll close that and bring it back to the board.
Yeah, this item was discussed in the Water and Wastewater Committee. Express my frustration that it takes so long to do the permits, when the fact that if it was declared an emergency, we could do this project without permits and move it right on through. Fire department says they feel it's adequate at this particular point, not the best ideal gallonage. So I talked about, well, let's just save the $250,000. It's out of service now. It meets the minimum requirements for the fire department, take these funds and start looking at other pipe and see if we can solve some of those problems, because we know we're going to have those down the road. I advocated for that for quite a bit, and then it was brought to my attention that we have to look at worst case scenario everywhere. We get an earthquake, we got that pipe out, gas line breaks, two houses catch on fire, another water line is down, we don't have enough water to fight the fire. Threw my hands in at that point. Said, well, I don't want to vote for something and 3, 4, 5 years down the road, my name's all over because it didn't fix the pipe. So that's what I discussed.
And from my previous experience on the committee, I think that it was wise to come to that conclusion. I mean, we do have that minimum day requirement, and we can get by, but ultimately we have to meet that as part of our requirement to the state, I think.
Yeah, my recommendation was that go ahead and don't fix that pipe right now, because you know we're okay. Go out, let's take everything else. And then when we get everything else finished, then we'll come back and put that line in service. Maybe it's a year from now, 2 years from now, three, I don't know. So the question then is, well, does the board risk a catastrophic problem in the town and come find out if that pipe was in service? Maybe you lose a life, you just don't know. I came to the conclusion I can't take that risk.
So we did learn in the meeting today, wastewater, that the pipes are just about 60 years old. We have a hole in it, and that's corrosion. We don't know how many other potential near-term failures we'll see on that pipe. We have a system, the whole system is designed with redundancy, and what we've done now is we've lost a portion of that redundancy. It's offline now, producing 1,000 gallons per.
So probably the prudent thing is to go to option two. Option one, it sounds good, but with option two, we can go a little bigger in the diameter. It's an 8-inch pipe. Now we can go to 12-inch, giving us a higher flow. And we don't risk spending $28,000 to turn around and do this. And there's no reason to risk it. So that's kind of where the conclusion that I came to.
Yeah, I came to the same conclusion. I didn't want to risk additional $28,000 for both the projects are the same. Even though it's going to take some time to get through the permitting process, you know, we've got to go that route anyway. You know, we're forced to get the permits, but I think a brand new pipe is a better way to go.
And one last thing, if it does in fact fail in a serious fashion, we then will declare emergency with the aid of the fire department and expedite the whole process. So we're covered in that area.
So the two gentlemen are on the wastewater committee, I will make a motion that we accept option two, not risk the $30,000, go with what we know is going to work, and not take the chance of not knowing how many other issues we may have in that pipe based on the age of the entire pipe.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Point of clarification here. So the motion was to go with option B. The second part of staff recommendation was to delegate the authority to general manager to go ahead and execute agreements. So is that?
That would be included in my motion if it would be amended on the second.
Yes.
And just to be aware, the general manager would be following any of the procedures set forth in the district's policy or the town's policy 11. And that's the authority that's going to be delegated. So that's the amended motion. And if that's fine with both parties, we'll go ahead and put that.
Amended.
I think it's fine. Thank you. So Carol feverishly writing all the things you presented. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. Item G2.
Did you? Everybody vote?
Yeah, we voted in amended.
We amended the
open
motion. If we need to vote again, do we need to vote again?
There'll be no second vote.
Okay. We can just say we voted for staff recommendation.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, now on to G2.
On G2, I'll bring Dina.
Good evening. I'm requesting to go out to hire Wahobitz Singh and Municipal Consultants to do our water and wastewater rate study at a not to exceed amount of $25,000. Allison Wahobitz will be our principal on the job. She used to work for Barta Wells, who previously did our rate study. So this is her new company, and so I'm requesting to authorize the general manager to contract with Wahobitz and Singh for our rate study. I'm here for any questions.
Approximately how long would it take to get the study completed?
Okay, so we worked with Allison to do a kickoff meeting just to kind of do a timeline, and we worked backwards. So we need to have it approved at the second meeting in June. And then back from that there, we're going to post everything for the Prop 218 for the hearing. And so we're going to start as soon as you get the approval.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. Any other clarifying questions? No. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I will open it up to public comment. Seeing no public comment, I'll bring it back to the board.
Approve staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any managers report?
Yes. At this time, I would like to bring up our new finance manager, Julie Carter. She started about 3 weeks ago, and I'd like her to tell you a little bit about herself.
Hi. Glad to be here. Welcome. I've gotten a nice welcome. My name is Julie Carter. I started, this is my third week, so I started on the 21st. I'm a resident of Brentwood. I've been out in Brentwood for 31 years. I have been coming to Discovery Bay for quite a few years. My son actually went to Discovery Bay Elementary. We transferred him from the Brentwood School District, and he went to Excelsior, and he's now at Liberty. I've been married for 31 years to my husband, Roger. We have four children, told you about my son. We have three older girls who are 30, 27, and 23. Two of them are out of college, one still in. I previously worked in the software industry for most of my career. I did 20 years at a company, many different names, but it ended as Epicor Software in Dublin as a finance manager and in the accounting department. I've been an accounting manager. I've also worked in telecommunications and intermodal and engineering industries. Don't like to talk too much about myself, but that's me. I look forward to working with all of you and working with my Candida. We kind of jumped right into the rate study and some other things that are going on. I'm pretty excited. Any questions?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Welcome to the public side.
Welcome, and keep that smile.
I will. That I guarantee.
Thank you. Any other managers?
No.
Okay. Moving on, the director's report, standing committees. We have the first is communications. Bill Pease, Director Pease, and Director Muto.
Well, it was a fun-filled committee meeting. We talked about some analytics that were the staff has presented regarding the website, and we also discussed for a future meeting for staff to kind of come back with a little update on how well the sign is working, how many groups have asked to post some type of message, and if we have any loopholes or any issues with the current rules of engagement, if the committee needs to amend those or adjust those. And that was pretty much the gist of the meeting. Unless you had any.
Nope, you covered it. Excellent.
Okay. Next, Parks and Recreation Committee, Director Graves and Director Muto.
Yeah, we just had a very short meeting in that we discussed the progress of the dog park. It's coming along well. Kind of took a look at it. It was a good design. We have some issues with weather coming up, getting the sod planted, making sure that's up before it gets tore up by a bunch of dogs. But it got he's not here, the SAM seal of approval today. And we also discussed our carpet, which about by Friday next week will be complete. Is that what we said, Monica?
Yes.
So it's going to start on Monday, and by the time we have our next meeting, the stain and the whatever else it comes with is going to be gone and replaced, and we're going to have some new carpet in here. So thank you for your hard work on that. And that's all we've covered at this meeting. So thank you.
And just one added note, I believe that they fixed the problem that caused the...
Yeah, Monica's had her team out there, and they put in the proper drainage. We shouldn't have any a repeating problem anymore, but that went along with the beautiful landscaping that we have out in front, and all the upgrades, and how wonderful everything looks. So they did start with digging that up, putting in some French drains, and... we're confident that we have water moving away from the building instead of towards the building.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. And the last one is the Water Wastewater Committee, and I'll turn it over to Vice President Pease.
Thank you, President Mayor. We talked about the authorization for the water pipeline replacement, which we just voted on. We also did the rate study. The third one was probably the biggest one was the draft of the wastewater master plan and the cost. That's going to come back to the board at our next meeting. It's around $13,300,000. We discussed quite a few things. We need to get this on the fast track. So the committee suggested that instead of waiting an additional 2 weeks after our next meeting, I'm assuming that will be passed. With the amount of work that's gone into this, with the amount of information that's already been gathered, we're going to assume that the board would approve this. And so at that same meeting, if it is approved, then they'll bring forward the contract to start the design phase at that same meeting in lieu of waiting another 2 weeks to get the go-ahead. If for whatever reason it's not approved, then they'll just pull that off the agenda. So we're trying to gain another 2 weeks because we have a drop dead date of the December 2023 to have this up and running, and also our operator and Bernie needs a minimum of 6 months to run the plant for this new denitrification process. So we are basically out of time. We have to start.
Thank you, Vice President Beans. Any other reportable items? Seeing none, General Manager's report.
I have two items. First item is just a quick little update on the pool drawings. The drawings and equipment layout are essentially complete. There's some minor issues that need to be tweaked. And the Terracon hopes to have those plans in the county plan check in a couple weeks, which is probably more like 3 weeks. So they're moving along on that. The second item to report on is Bernie, myself, and Gregory are going on a road trip to the Water Board up in the Rancho Cordova to argue for a more favorable limit on ammonia that's been on our NPDES permit. So we'll start off early in the morning tomorrow and meet with them at 9 and hopefully get some changes favorable to the town. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Item K, we have correspondence information only. If you pull the data, you can see what was there. Any future agenda items? Seeing none,